Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party Book.com. It's Sunday morning. It's now Sunday noontime, 12:25, and I've had my fill of talk shows and the newspaper cover up of Obama buying a cop a beer. Isn't that something? Come on. You know, that's like, I remember Harvey Greenwald lived in the next apartment to us, and he fell down a flight of stairs. He was a little kid, and he was probably about four. He fell down a flight of stairs, and his mother stood at the top of the landing and said, "Harvey, come on upstairs, and Mommy will make you a cup of tea." And that's what they're doing to this cop, Crowley. They're going to buy him a beer. How's that? The president of the United States, using the full power and authority of 300 million people, 300 million Americans, accused this cop of being stupid. That's a stigma that's going to be with that guy for the rest of his life. So, come on, give me a break. Now you're going to bring him to meet with the guy that said, "Yo, mama," huh? Walk behind the cop harassing him, shouting, "Yo, mama," and they're going to give that Gates, the racist, the pass, and they're going to buy the cop a beer. How's that for a put down? Come on down to Washington, I'll buy you a beer. And get over it. Yeah, get over that I nearly ruined your career, I nearly ruined your life and your family's life, that I labeled you a racist. Get over it. And speaking of racist, guess who Fox has on to explain Gates' side of the story? Al Dumpster Man Sharpton. Al, who can't write the N-word upside down on his chest, but has friends that do. Al Dumpster Man Sharpton, the presidential candidate of the Democratic Party. Al Dumpster Man Sharpton. Wherever there's a race to be exploited, there you will find Al. Yeah, with his Marseillais. You don't know what that is, but Al does. But anyway, let me just say, Al is responsible for the murder of a young white boy. There was a young white boy in that Tawana Brawley racial accusation who was a cop in training. And he had a girlfriend. He had his first love. And he was full of hope and enthusiasm. He had a job. He had a girl. And then he had Al Sharpton calling him a rapist. And he lost his girl, and he took his own life. And that's the result of Al, a dumpster man, making money playing the race card. Not only the race card, but the whole goddamn deck. And Al Sharpton should have been brought up on charges of conspiracy to commit murder. So, he's on Fox today, and he's explaining why Gates is really white. And Crowley is a racist. Yeah, give me a break. Give me a break. Come on. I thought we were over this. We just voted a president. The president was elected by white people. Yet America is still stomped to death with the stigma of racism. Well, let me give you a few stats that are from the top of my head. Europeans have been dealing in slaves for 3 centuries. The Arabs have been dealing in slaves for 14 centuries. And up until 1962, you could buy a slave in Saudi Arabia. Black Americans with white slave names changed them to Muslim names. But they never check the background of the Muslim name that they're taking. And they would find out that their ancestors carried ivory for some of them Muslim names. And at the auction, not only did the ivory get sold, but the black man got sold. Only 5% of all the slaves that have been taken came to the United States. You think about that. Let me stop there. Hang in a second. I had to gain my train of thought. Because I have the beginning of Alzheimer's. It's not evident yet. But I one thing I know, I'm making new friends every day. And now we're going to turn to the Bush legacy of the Rio Grande. This one is strictly... I love Bush. I thought Bush was the right man at the right time. He was given a mandate by the American people. He could have done anything he wanted to do. He was labeled in the media by the press as a dummy. And there was nothing he could do wrong. And every day a GI died anywhere in the world, it was front page news and it was Bush's legacy. I've still yet to read the list of accusations against Donald Rumsfeld. He was smeared with one word, he's a loser, but nobody ever made a list of his losses. And yet we got this guy Gates who is telling Israel, you better not fight back and let the Iranians take the first punch. Yeah, and your little part of the world will be gone. But the Bush, so I'm a Bush man, and I'm disappointed in Bush. There's certain things he did that broke my heart, but I'll tell you something. He never knowingly tried to hurt this country. And they can't say that about Osama bin Laden. This man does not love this country. And I just saw that on the news last night that Prime Minister Maliki in Iraq is setting up a fund where 10,000 Iraqis will come to the United States, Australia, England, and Canada for education. And I said to myself, please, don't send them to the United States because they're only going to be taught to hate this country here. Because that's what they teach in Harvard. Yeah, Harvard and Yale. It breaks my heart when I see Yale and I see Nathan Hale, an 18-year-old boy who gave his life for his country, alone and abandoned in New York City, in an apple orchard, strung up. And his last words were, I regret that I have but one life to give for my country. and he was a ministerial a student at Yale. And he opted to go serve the American people, a government and a country he never saw. He never lived to see the fruits of his labor. And at 18 years old, he was betrayed by a cousin. And he was hanged by the British. And he was denied a Bible, which is happening today. And he, the letter he wrote to his mother was torn up. And the provost marshal, who was in charge of the hanging, said, "No one should know the bravery of this man." And today, what do you got up in Yale? They're turning out communists. They're not turning out ministers. So, you think about that. So, I do like Bush because Bush never tried to hurt this country. And he was given a load to carry that very few presidents, besides Roosevelt, had such a load. Maybe George Washington had that load too. Lincoln probably had the same load. But he had 3,000 dead bodies on his hands in his first term of office. And in a sneak attack, the greatest defeat of the American military in the history of the United States. And don't tell me that was a civilian attack. We didn't have... They just cut back on F-22s, and John McCain is taking credit for it. And we didn't have one F-22 over New York City to stop the second plane. There was, they had to fly the jets up from Washington, D.C. They didn't even have anything in a nearby Air Force base to get up and to scramble. How wide open were we? How wide open were we? And it's the same today. Nothing has changed. You got an admiral that says he will never fire on an Iranian gunboat. Yeah, until they sink a nuclear carrier, and then he's going to form a commission. Yeah, that's what the Democrats do. They get you into war, they leave you to die on the battlefield, and then they form a commission. And anybody, any Republican who comes to their rescue will be blamed for the war. You don't believe me, right? We'll just take a look at Vietnam. Mexican Border Patrol officer death is part of the Bush legacy. I blame Bush for this officer's death. You know, if you go swimming in a pool and the lifeguard blows the whistle, you're supposed to hold up your buddy's hand. They use a buddy system to keep people from drowning in a confined area, in a swimming pool. Yet they sent this cop out to intercept the drug runners by himself. And you know what? That's SOP. And you know why that is? Because they don't want the drug trade to being interfered with. America needs those drugs. America has to have those drugs. One out of five Americans depends on drugs. And Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to legalize weed, because there's $1 billion a year in revenue for California alone. How's that? And they're all going to be smoking and inhaling secondhand smoke. How's that? If you want to legalize weed, only in suppository form. And you know what? They'll still pass it around. So, it should be called, Bush's legacy should be called the Ramos-Compion Act. We were warned when Ramos and Compion were sacrificed to the drug lords in the name of American justice, that the borders were wide open and anything goes. The unwritten law of no support for American citizens employed as Border Patrol guards. And Bush never supported them. Never once did he support them. And the end result is one-man patrols, which is ridiculous. You don't have one-man patrols in public schools today. And one out of five Americans is a drug addict because of open borders. The addiction is our fault, but the delivery is the fault of the House and the Senate. More guards train... work in pairs. Ferry boat police work in pairs, but on the lonely Rio Grande, we send one man to a deal with from 4 to 50 people. There are no single trespassers coming across the border. They come in groups. A New York City cop waits for a backup before making an arrest when he thinks that the odds are against him. And here they send a 30-year-old father of two with a 2-year-old son to intercept heavily armed drug dealers. And now that 2-year-old is going to get a flag in place of a father. So, maybe Obama can buy the family a beer. Seems the way he settles all scores today. It's really sad. And I'm surprised they didn't charge the dead officer with a failure to read the Miranda warning. Very disappointing. If we don't do something about the border will do something about us. It's time to close it. If I was president and somebody said, what are you going to do about the border? I'd say, what time is it? And they'd say, well, it's 12:39. Well, let me see. To move an armored division from Fort Hood, Texas to the Rio Grande, give me 8 hours. Give me 8 hours and problem solved. Are we going to debate it? No. No time for debate. The defense of the country comes first. Get their fustus with the mostus. And for sure, that Border Patrol should not be allowed to go out one man at a time. That Border Patrol has to go out in twos. At least twos.
Okay, correct. Okay, correct. There the outlaw band make their final stand. Okay, correct. One must tie, lay down my gun, or take the chance of losing you forever. Duty calls, my back's against the wall. Have you no kind word to say before I ride away? Away! Fight it, okay, correct. If the Lord is my friend, we'll meet at the end of the gunfight. It, okay, correct. Gunfight it, okay, correct. Boot Hill, Boot Hill, so cold, so still. There they killers that died in the gunfight at OK Corral. OK
My wife heard a, I think she used to be the Attorney General of New York State. I think she's a Republican. And she read the medical bill that they're trying to shove down America's throat. She read all 1,000 pages. And my wife said, this is the first time I've heard anybody talk about the issues. And clearly know what they're saying. And she said, yes, there's going to be discrimination against the elderly in this medical bill. And I got to tell you, in a recent family poll with people in their 30s and 40s, there is no mercy for the elderly. This is not the World War II generation that took care of their parents. I got to tell you, when you murder 1,400,000 American babies a year, there's going to be no sympathy for the elderly. Sorry, pal. Better face reality. Crawl in a corner and die. And that's what's coming. And my wife was dismayed. There's two pieces of paper, well, not mentioning the New York Slimes or Newsweek magazine. Those are both anti-American rags as far as I'm concerned. Newsweek has killed more Marines than Al-Qaeda with their articles. But even my local paper, which was once conservative, as is the community, now they've become the Obama Explainer. That should be the name of the paper. The Obama Explainer. And I would get rid of it tomorrow, except for two things. One, the newspaper boy will never have a better job. He can't even make the front step with the paper. And the other reason is my wife likes the coupons. Otherwise, this paper would be history tomorrow. And many times I've tried to get rid of it. And just like I get rid of all the Macy's ads at Christmas time that don't mention the reason for Christmas. When I see a Macy's ad that says believe, I say, what, believe in what, credit cards? I throw it right in the garbage. And all the Macy's fans in my house, they never see the specials. Because I run roughshod over the Macy's ads. Yeah, so go on believing, Macy's. And once they insulted me so much at Christmas time that in the springtime they sent me an ad with for suits, and I wrote on the ad, the brochure, canceled, season's greetings, and I sent it to the president of Macy's. But there is another organization that preys on the elderly, and that's ARP magazine, AARP. It is a left-wing run magazine, and they do some good things. They get you a discount in the hotels, and they give you shopping tips, but they're also promoting a left-wing agenda, and they're preying on the elderly, the scared, and the weak. And if you ever look at the cover of an ARP magazine, there'll always be a good communist like Harry Belafonte, like Danny Glover, and that's who I want to talk about, Danny Glover, and the race card. Danny Glover, many moons ago, played the race card in New York. He was trying to get a cab, and those brown devils that ride those cabs, that drive those cabs, wouldn't stop for him. It wasn't a white cab driver that wouldn't stop for him. It was probably a Pakistani or a Dominican. And he had a big sissy fit that he was being discriminated against because he was black. And he wanted the cab driver to take him to a neighborhood that was known for murdering cab drivers. And the cabbie just turned the light out on the cab and drove away. So Glover called for a press conference, and the Taxi and Limousine Commission Quislings in the city of New York immediately passed a law saying that if you don't take fares into high-crime neighborhoods, you will lose your hack license. And so these Pakistanis and Dominicans put their lives on the line because they needed the job. And as a result of a boy, a crying wolf, okay, eight, I think they were all Dominicans, died. And the head of the union said, enough is enough, we've lost eight people. They were all robbed and murdered under the enforced laws of the city of New York. And that's Danny Glover's legacy. And every time you see Danny, he's either with Fidel Castro or he's with Hugo Chavez. And sadly, he's been with Mel Gibson, but Mel Gibson's not doing too good lately. Yeah. So, my wife is upset that ARP, her favorite magazine, is not telling the elderly that they're going to get screwed by President Obama bin Laden. And I said, I told you so. I told you so. Now let's see what AARP does. This is a bad deal for senior citizens. And I'll say it once again. The generation that's coming up doesn't have as much respect for life as the generation that's leaving. Hallelujah. And euthanasia is a nice, a clinical word, as is the word fetus and abortion. But there's no difference. It's just that you're aborting of both ends of the lifeline.
I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night, a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way. I believe, oh, I believe. I believe above the storm, the smallest prayer will still be heard. I believe that someone in the great somewhere hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry or touch a leaf or see the sky, then I know I believe. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry or touch a leaf or see
every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or touch a leaf, or see the sky. What more can you say? So that's one for the kids, and now I'm going to give you one for the elderly. And today we're going to visit a 94-year-old woman, and I'm sure she's comfortable, but I'm sure she would rather be in heaven. But you know what? You got to look at the Pope, Pope John, and the example that he set for people who are at the end of the trail. And who's the judge? Who's the judge? This 94-year-old woman, a woman got to see two grandchildren that she never saw before yesterday. So what did she have? A minute of happiness? Was it worth it? Who's the judge? It's not your call to make. And when it is your call to make, make the right call. And then it's just between you and your conscience. And the boss of the galaxies. 'Tis the last rose of summer left blooming all alone. All her lovely companions are faded and gone. No flower of her kindred, no rosebud is nigh to reflect back her blushes or give sigh for sigh. I'll not leave thee, though lone one, to pine on the stem. Since the lovely are sleeping, go sleep thou with them. Thus kindly I scatter thy leaves o'er the bed, where the mates of the garden lie scentless and dead.
So soon may I follow when friendships decay, and from love's shining circle the gems drop away. When true hearts lie withered and fond ones are flown, oh, who would inhabit this bleak world alone? Now that's written by, The Last Rose of Summer, I'm sorry. The melody was written by Thomas Moore. That's written by Sir John Stevenson, 1761. And that's how poets poetized back then. And what do we have today? We have rap singers. Yeah. Thank you, Charlie Chrysler.
Morning, boys and girls. Evening, boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book.com. And I thought we would open with a little Beethoven. Maynard von Beethoven. You know, in some triage units, rather than hit you with the paddles, they give you a shot of Maynard. Hang in there a second. I sent a thank you note to Rush Limbaugh for standing by Sarah Palin when all of the repuppies were trying to dump her under orders from John McCain. Yeah, the McCainiacs. He's a McCainiac. He's a McCainiac on the floor. Thanks, Rush, for being a friend to Sarah Palin. That goes a long way to addressing your fairness and love of women. My uncle used to say he never struck a woman, only in self-defense. Sarah gave a great farewell speech, and the shot of her pulling in a net full of fish coincided with a Sunday sermon of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Feed my people. Sunday night, Geraldo V did his usual slimy, backstabbing tribute to Sarah. No troop locations this time from Google Eyes. And he must have played Brutus not only to his audience, but to his 5 wives, who, according to Geraldo, all get along. It's a cheap shot, I know, but I like doing it. Sarah Palin is to Geraldo what Father Murphy is to Beelzebub. I also appreciate Rush's admonition of the repuppy elitists, cautioning them to lay off Sarah, and I hope she does good. She had one line that I was dragged out of the house. I had to go somewhere for a cup of coffee, and it was either face the female firing squad or listen to Sarah. But one of her opening lines was that she hopes the media learns to tell the truth. It was better. It was a fantastic. She set it up good. She had great delivery. It was a good punchline. And of course, everybody knows that the media is no good. The media is in the back pocket of Obama bin Laden, and has been there since George Bush was sworn in 8 years ago. Oh, how they hated Bush. Oh, Bush. They even brought people from France to testify against him. Nobody likes Bush. Everybody hates Bush. Obama goes to Germany and apologizes for World War II. Oh, Obama was a success in Germany. 200,000 people turned out. Yeah, and down the street, 1.2 million turned out for a sex festival. So, you know what? He's not that big a draw. Draws on and all. Yeah, but they didn't tell you that. No, we covered that up. And did you hear Sarah Palin's tribute to the troops? It sure beats Nancy Pelosi's tribute to the Syrian troops when she visited Bashar al-Assad and autographed Marine-killing IEDs. Nah, she really didn't autograph them. She just cut the ribbon at the IED factory in the palace after she asked her lover, Bashar, to close the palace windows because the screams of American soldiers and Iraqi children were ruining her train of thought. And I see Senator Nelson. Here's a guy who will definitely hurt a fly, even if it's open. There's a guy, Squinty Eyes Nelson, I call him, from Florida. They're labeling him as a Blue Dog Democrat. You know what? I'd like to see the Blue Dog droppings. Yeah, a Blue Dog Democrat. This guy is, he's a flag burner. He's a baby killer. He blocked the door during the murder of Terri Schiavo, which we've all been trained to forget. Okay, now we ring the bell and you forget about atrocities. Ding! I forgot! Yeah. You know what New Yorkers say from 911? We forget nothing. Like that scene in Princess Anna when Angelica Houston is talking to her grandfather. And they're discussing a woman that whether or not she should be taken out because she is a hitman for another mob. And the grandfather is playing helpless. And he's Angelina, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And he's almost crying. And she goes, grandfather, she's a hitter. We got to take her out. Yeah, just like your grandfather. We forget nothing. Yeah, and that's the same with 911. And we haven't paid Osama back yet. And when's Obama going to get Osama? Come on now. When's Obama going to get Osama? He's up there where Obama sent all of those troops to die. And that body count is running today. It was 561 when Bush left. What is it today? Do you know? It's over 650, I'll bet. Yep. There was a rumor that we got one of Obama's kids. I mean, Osama's kids. I get the two terrorists mixed up all the time. There's one's a financial terrorist, and one is a Muslim terrorist. Well, they both could be Muslim terrorists. We haven't seen the papers yet. And maybe that's why we haven't seen the birth certificate, because it's got a big mosque stamped on the top of it. Maybe it's signed by Mullah Omar or Abdul Rahman, the blind sheikh and governor of New York. Yeah, we're all in trouble, man. We're all in trouble. These people are dismantling this country. See, the auction went off a long time ago. The Clintons auctioned off the country. And now it's dismantling time. It's take what's left and just help yourselves and get what you can. Because this country is finished. And now Obama is making a deal with China. I think he's going to allow 1 billion illegal immigrants into the country. And they're all going to be wearing their uniforms. And he's going to give them sanctuary. That's how they bring them in. They give them political sanctuary from oppression. Yeah. What a routine. What a sad routine. Speaking of sad routines, I'm sitting in church and a black nun gets up. She's from Nigeria. And she says what I've always known. Nigeria is one of the richest countries in Africa. And she's here in the United States to beg for money so she can build a church and feed and clothe the naked in one of the richest countries in Africa. Do you know that Bass River crude oil is the finest crude oil in the world? There is none better. Refiners love it. And where does it come from? Nigeria. So what's the story, Jerry? Maybe we're paying too much attention to Africa, and we should be paying more attention to Latin America, where we're losing friends by the minute. The only one that's an ally today, there's only two countries that are allies today of the United States. One is Colombia under President Uribe, and the other is Honduras under the junta and the Supreme Court judge. Thank God that Supreme Court judge isn't named Ginsburg. Yeah, Baby Ruth. And you heard what Baby Ruth said. Boy, did the press cover that up quick or not, huh? What did she say? She said she thought abortion was selective service. We select who lives and dies. It was, she called it, she didn't call it culling the herd, but it's the same thing. If they were baby seals, she'd be sitting on the bench with a club. Yeah, to get rid of the unwanted. That's what she described them as, the unwanted. Yeah, they may be unwanted to the guy that's got to pay palimony. But I can tell you, the kid would like to live. Why don't we wait and let the kid have his say? Why don't we wait until that tissue is fully developed and has reached the age of reason, and then say, well, what do you want to do? We know you were an absentee ballot. You were a prisoner of the womb. So now you're old enough to think and talk for yourself. Do you want to be aborted? I don't think he would answer yes to you. No, we get them before they have their rights. But if a black professor calls a white cop your mama, then it's the cop's fault. And he has violated the civil rights of the black angry professor. And somebody called a Steve Malzberg and said that your mama is not an insult. That's not true. That's a lie. Your mama is an insult. It goes along with playing the dozens. Your mama and your papa too. Yeah, there are certain words in the African vocabulary that are insulting. And one of them is Fletcher. And let me see if I can use it in a joke. And you'll see that the punchline is insulting. This girl's father owned a hardware store in Harlem. And he sent her to Switzerland to a democratic finishing school. And she came back an accomplished person. And so she wanted to work with the common people at the daddy's hardware store. And she was waiting on the counter showing off her education. And the guy came in and said, I want a bastard file. And she started crying. And her father called her over to the side and she goes, honey, that's not a curse word. That is a description of a certain type of file. There are mill bastards, there are round bastards, and they're in the file family. So she said, oh, okay, daddy, and she dried her eyes, and she went back out on the counter. And another guy came in and he goes, I want a file. So she wanted to impress him. So she said, do you want a mill bastard or a round bastard? And he said, give me one of those Mother Fletchers over there.
Here's another hardware joke. You heard my one the other night about they'll pay in bottle caps, and a guy paid him with an ash can cover. He said, take it out of here. If you missed it, you missed it. I'm not going to say it again. But this woman comes into a hardware store, and she says to the clerk behind the counter, I'd like a hinge. So a 4-inch hinge. She says, no problem. He goes, he gets a 4-inch hinge, and he brings it to the counter, and he goes, would you like a screw for it? And she says, no, but I'll kiss you for the toaster in the window. Let me give you a tune before the police raid the studio. Here's Maynard again, and this is an old Italian tune, and the name of it is No More Rice Krispies. Do you like that? That was really a Pagliacci. I know you knew it. But there used to be a Rice Krispie commercial where an opera singer sang, "No more Rice Krispies." How can you let these senators, congressmen, special interest groups, lobbyists, how can you let all these people go to Washington, D.C., where you send your money, and let them rip you off? How can you give up your money so easily without a fight? You couldn't do it to the boys of 1776. They put a musket ball between your eyes. This is ridiculous. These guys got the treasury open. They're all doing the hokey pokey. They're putting the left hand in. They're putting the right hand in. They're coming out with Chuck Rangel. The guy should be in jail. Barney Frank should be in jail. Christopher Dudd should be in jail. Jackson from Louisiana with $100,000 in the freezer. Cold cash. He should be in jail. These people all should be in jail. What'd the FBI do? They got a couple of rabbis in New Jersey. They rounded up 44 people. They could have rounded up 135 congressmen, all who voted to burn the flag, by the way. The 135 that I would select. And 48 senators. At least 48 senators would go to jail. And the only guy that's speaking out about it, I got to tell you, is Glenn Beck. And his star is rising. He's going to be somebody to be feared. They'll be going after him next. They'll try and get him in a sex scandal. They'll have his head on somebody else's body at the Minneapolis airport. On a Republican body. Yeah. Did you ever hear my song about the feet, touching feet? Reaching out, touching you, touching me? Yeah, sweet Congress guy. Yeah. You're not a cop, are you? Voulez-vous? Yeah, I got a whole song. I got a song about O'Reilly and a flag pin. Won't you wear your flag pin, O'Reilly? Won't you wear that pin? The victims cry all night long. I'll sell the gear, O'Reilly. I'll sell the books. Please don't do America wrong. Remember September 11th? We didn't have a pin or a song. Oh, patriotism's not a sin. O'Reilly, count us in. Come on, boy, wear your pin. And Hannity doesn't wear a pin, and I'm very disappointed. The only liberal that I loved, the only liberal who touched my heart, was Juan Williams. I loved Juan Williams. Here he was working at a communist radio station, and he still had some integrity. And he wore an American flag pin. And he wasn't a Bush guy. So he wore it for patriotism's sake. But I saw him last night, and he was...
naked.
He was saying the president played the race card. And if Juan Williams says the president played the race card, you can rest assured that the president played the race card. And he did. And I told you how I feel about that. There's two things that this president does that I don't like, besides blame America first. He's a blame America first. It's the only president that doesn't like the country. You know what? If he continues on the path that he's continuing on, if he doesn't melt with the melting pot, he's going to be the last black president in 100 years. You think about that. Is that what you want? You want this guy playing the race card from the highest office in the land? Come on. Let's get real here. Are we going to go backwards? So Juan Williams said that President Obama played the race card. And for Juan Williams to say it, you know that it's got to be true. And I hope that Juan puts his flag pin back on again. And then I will love him forever. But Glenn Beck is the rising star on Fox. And I wish him well, because he's going to get the Sarah Palin treatment. They'll find out that he was pregnant, and he didn't let the baby live. You wait and see. They'll get something on Glenn. That's how they do it. They build the stars up, even their own. They build up the Hollywood stars, and everybody worships them, and then they throw them out the window. Look at Rosie O'Donnell. The last time you saw her, she was hanging upside down, trying to lose weight. What was that all about? Do you know, I have, you ever see these big rolls of hand towels? They're like maybe 18 inches wide. I have one in the back seat of my car, and my kid said to me, what's that for? I says, that's my Rosie O'Donnell emergency toilet roll, just in case I meet her and she's in trouble. And you thought only Democrats were beasts. Well, let me tell you a little bit more about the Hokey Pokey. Do you know the guy who wrote the Hokey Pokey? Well, he died at the age of 86. And when they were preparing him for the wake, they had a tough time getting his body in the coffin. They put the left leg in, and they put the left leg out. And you know how that goes, right?
You do the Hokey Pokey. You do the Hokey Pokey.
You put your money in, you put your money in, you put your money in, and you shake it all about. You do the Hokey Pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. You put your laughing.
We have late breaking news. Apparently Obama plans to kill the senior citizens first, and he's starting with all Orientals. It's going to be called Operation Youth in Asia. I put that plug out today, and I said we'd be talking tonight. Shall we say 8 o'clock? But I missed the 8 o'clock show. We'll have to set it up to 9 o'clock. And my other question that I threw out there was, can you buy off a Cambridge cop with a beer? How uncouth. Is that Irish racism? You don't know who you're dealing with. Yo mama. What does that mean? Why did the press stop trumpeting dead GIs after GW left office? When GW left, it was 561 in Afghanistan. What is it now, Kumbaya man? We don't count dead GIs on Obama's watch? When he surpasses 561, what are we going to do? Will that be his war? Is that the one he wanted? Why are we burning American tax dollars to burn Afghan poppies? Wouldn't it be cheaper to buy the crop? Shoot a billion, not the farmer. Not an American a GI either. Farmers are the backbone of revolutions. Buy the crop. I'll see you next year. Have a nice harvest instead of a forest fire. You know, when they burn the crop, they're making an enemy, right? You know that. It would be cheaper to buy it. We spend more money trying to burn it than we do if we bought it. And then we could legalize it in California. And in 2 weeks we'd have a vast gravesite. And here's the thing that bothers me the most about this situation. I'm very insulted for this cop, that they would try and buy him off with a beer. And he's being a nice guy by going along with it. They hate his guts. And at any given opportunity, they're going to give him the raspberries. And they're going to remind him that he was wrong and he's inferior. He's only a law enforcement officer. And they know how to deal with them. Crispus Attucks would turn over in his grave to watch his fellow freedom fighters being called stupid. Never trust a mayor or a president who calls for a cover-up committee, be it on a porch or at 911 hearings. If the mayor of Cambridge sold that cop out today, he had his press conference and he went political, and he stacked the deck with his flunkies, and they all talked about coming together, but they're not coming together. When nobody's looking, they're going to get that cop. If the mayor of Cambridge was in the old church tower in 1776, he would have switched signals on Paul Revere. I just watched this mayor pull a Bill Sykes, the Artful Dodger, using a 911-like stacked deck of flunkies to sell out the police departments of the nation. This is not an isolated incident, and it will not be swept under the media cover-up rug. Once again, the cops are made scapegoats in the name of racial harmony. While we are on the subject of scapegoats, if Bush had pardoned Ramos and Campion and restored their dignity with pay, Border Patrol Officer Rosas would not have died alone and may have lived. And tell me how we can do one man down on the Mexican border with no backup doing patrol when the average group of people that come through are between 40 and 50. How can you send one man on a patrol? Do you know if I blow the whistle in my swimming pool, everybody has to hold up their buddy's hand? You never see New York City cops alone, hardly ever. And while we're on the subject of New York City cops alone, many years ago, on the corner of 190th Street and St. Nicholas Avenue, at about 4 o'clock in the morning, a bar was emptying out, and a bunch of rowdies came out of the bar looking for trouble. And a cop on a foot patrol was standing by the lamppost, and he told them to simmer down and go home. And they figured he's only one, and they were maybe 20. And they gave the cop some lip. And one of the lippers got in the cop's face. And the cop realized if he didn't take control of the situation, he was going to be in trouble. So he smacked the lipper on the forehead with his billy club. And the lipper went down and everybody went home. And he called, of course, for a backup. And so they all scattered. But the big mouth, who happened to be a relative, okay, caused a lot of trouble And that cop handled it perfectly. And I know, because I visited the Big Mouth in the hospital, and he had a hematoma on his head that was at least 4 inches thicker than what his normal forehead was. And he's very lucky that he lived. And you got to be careful when you're going to play with the law. And his brother is a Gold Shield detective. And when his brother was told about the issue, you know what he said? He had it coming, and he got what he deserved. No racial profiling, no white-on-white hatred. A Big Mouth got out of line, and he got taken down by the policeman who was doing his job. Had he walked away without getting in the cop's face, he wouldn't have had to spend a week in Columbian Presbyterian. So a word to the wise is sufficient. So back to the story. Once again, the cops are made scapegoats in the name of racial harmony. And while we're on the subject, and I mentioned it, if Bush had pardoned Ramos and Campion, that Border Patrol guard wouldn't have died alone. And he might have survived. And no way on the Mexican border, Mexican-American border, should there be one guy on guard duty. You paired him up, and you better start giving him some heavy weapons. When a man shouts at your mama and emphasizes that you don't know who you are dealing with, he is telling you that he has a pat hand of race cards, and the dealer is the president of the USA. You better watch out. Officer Crowley will be burned when nobody's looking, as will the entire police department in the USA. Then the military, and then voila, no country. UN troops will take over, and everybody will pay 98% taxes to support the hearings. World War II will be rewritten, and Chinese coolies will be made to pay reparations for tunneling a good earth. And that's another tactic of Obama's that I don't like. He drags the Latinos into the race issue. He says, look, you're being discriminated against too, just like us. But you want to know something? Not all Latinos feel that way. And not all blacks feel that way. But Obama likes to rub salt in open wounds. And he also drags in Muslims who pray. Did you hear him make that speech? That Americans discriminate against Muslims who pray? And somewhere I recorded my answer, and it is, Americans do not look down on Muslims who pray. We look down on Muslims who beat their wives, hang their wives, and bury their wives up to their waist and throw stones at them. We look down on Muslims who teach in madrasas that the infidel must be killed. We look down on Muslims who board planes, cut the throats of pilots and stewardesses, and fly them into buildings. Those Muslims we look down on, we hate them, and we will kill them every chance we get. And 9-1-1, we forget nothing. And we haven't forgotten the Beirut barracks massacre. We haven't forgotten the torture of Buckley, the CIA chief, in Beirut. And the day will come when the great payback will come. And we do it all the time. We hold the world record for payback. So you keep toying with us, and one day, you will live to regret it, or you won't live to regret it. So you think I'm mad? A cop who was politely doing his job has been marked for dismissal. After the president called all cops stupid, now they want to pay him off to go away with a beer. Why a beer? From the Pinot Grigio communists. How common? Is that Irish profiling? Pay them off with a beer? You're going to tell me that Gates loves beer? Yeah. The mayor sold out Crowley, as did the police commissioner. I hope you get the message, boys. You don't know who you are dealing with. If you let this poke in the eye with a sharpened and racist stick continue, you will pay again and again. I put an end to this now and let Cambridge be known as the shout heard around the world. Blog Talk Radio. We be talking. More tea? I was sitting having coffee with a guy yesterday, and we were criticizing the president. And I said, he said to me, he goes, this guy may not have papers. And I said, suppose he doesn't have papers. It's too late to do anything about it. He says, no, it ain't. He says, he has no papers. I'm going for his impeachment. And I'm sure there are a lot of people that feel that way. They're not going to take it laying down. You know, you can't let him worm his way in to office for a whole year and then declare that the king emperor has no papers. Yeah. And I just looked on WorldNet Daily, and they're saying that the liberals are crying that they're getting too much pressure about the papers. So I sent Joe Farah a quick email, and it says, my dog has papers. Tasha the Malamute, sired by Yukon and Klondike Queen, born last week in Kodiak, Alaska, attested to by Grover Grizzly, the veterinarian. If I say my dog is a Republican, 30 Democrat lawyers from the DNC will get off of planes and start sniffing around to discredit the line of succession. Yeah. And they'll be filing ethics lawsuits. Yep. So that's the story. Show me the papers. I'm the Jerry Maguire of citizenship. Show me the papers. I want to see the papers. Where's the papers? Mira, le papier, où est le papier? Is that why he wants illegals to have the medical plan, because he's illegal too? And now what they want to do, if businesses are hiring illegal aliens, they want to arrest the business owner and deport his company to China, where he can add to the pollution. We export pollution. Did you know that? Yeah. We sent the EPA around to harass all the businesses, all the American foundries, and they closed and they went to China. Wait until Exxon moves to Dubai. Wait until Sheikh Maktoum offers Exxon 100 years no taxes and all their employees. Maybe we should be taking Arabic lessons. We'll have to convert to the dinars. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Chuck Schumer is going to drive the last American business out. It'll be a mom and pop that is selling dishes. And they'll surround them with a SWAT team. And speaking of SWAT teams, have you seen that scenario where there was a stakeout at a Burger King? A government stakeout. They had over 22 officers there. They were disguised as road workers, sanitation men, a postal worker, a hooker, which is going to be taxed very soon. And they're taxing everything else. And I'm digressing because I'm thinking of another scenario where the mafia is going to have to open up a college and protect what's left of mob business. But they had this stakeout in front of Burger King, and I noticed there was a lot of fat kids, like 8 or 9 years old, and they were overweight, and they were going into the Burger King. And I noticed that one of the fat enforcement officers was watching. He was counting. And when the count hit 24, the last little fat kid went in. They pulled a raid. They brought all the little fat kids out in handcuffs and put them in the wagon. And their parents had to go in a separate wagon because they were a lot fatter than the kids. And then they're going to put the little fat kids in a lineup. Yeah, so the mafia, you see, the government has taken over gambling. So the mafia is out of the gambling business. The government has taken over prostitution in the House and the Senate. And so the mob is worried about that income. Now they want to take over the drug trade, and they're going to legalize marijuana because they can tax it $1 billion worth. And I started to tell you before about guys who hire illegals. They're gonna fine them. It's like graffiti. Your kid goes out and lowers the real estate value in the neighborhood by $200,000 a house with a bottle of, with a can of black spray paint, and the government says, we can't catch the little bastard, but you know who we got? We got the guy that has owns the hardware store. He's in a fixed position, and he's got a cash register. So we'll do a scene from The Godfather. You know, the guy in the white suit that only wanted to wet his beak a little? That's your government at work. So they go after the guy that was just selling a black paint, not for criminal purposes. He should stamp it on the can. This can of paint is not intended for criminal purposes. But you see, they won't punish the kid. They'll promote him. And you know, they use kids to catch clerks at cigarette stores. They use big, overweight kids who are under 18, and they send them in to buy cigarettes and get over on some poor kid who's working the counter that day and isn't familiar with all of the tricks of the trade. And then the kid gets nabbed for selling a minor, and then the company that sells, that owns the store, fires the kid. The kid loses the job and pays a $500 fine. The city makes out all around. They get government aid for unemployment. The kid they put out of business. And never forget, everything, every tax dollar that the government takes, you pay again, because it goes into the price of the goods. So if you're in a hotel and there's a room tax of $10, you know you're paying the room tax. The hotel's not paying it. You're paying it. I don't call it a room tax. I call it a sleep tax. They're taxing you while you sleep.
Hang in there. We'll give you the description of conception.
How you doing, boys and girls? I'm back. I told you the other night that somebody emailed me and said that that conception is not the creation of life, and it's not a child. Okay? And so, and of course, you know what my theory is. There are two times in my life when I've been proud to be an American. The day I was conceived, and I'll never forget it, and today, and all the time in between, until eternity. Fundamentals of Nursing, Concepts, Process, and Practice, third edition by Potter and Perry, page 755, Conception. From the moment of conception, human development proceeds at a rapid rate. Most intrauterine health problems are caused by genetic and environmental factors. During the prenatal period, the embryo grows from a single cell to a complex physiological being. All major organ systems develop in utero, with some functioning before birth. The psychosocial being also begins to emerge during gestation. Enough said. Case closed. Go and sin no more. Can we get a pro-life song?
Whoa, you know, you know, you know, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue River. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see that.
the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby. Cause baby, won't you look at you now? Come on, come on, yeah. Judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I know you made the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby. Good baby, won't you look at you now? Oh, I mean, I mean, oh, beautiful. Oh, beautiful. Oh, beautiful. Oh, beautiful. Oh, beautiful. Oh, beautiful. Oh, I know you're beautiful, too beautiful.
Like to hear the Hillary Clinton song?
I don't know where all of these jobs are going to come from. We've wiped out our entire industrial base. Now the car.
About the 50s last night, and how one comedian called it the Dark Ages because there were no drugs and the pill hadn't been invented yet. Did you know in the 50s that one out of three songs had gotten them?
Answer me, Lord above, just what sin have I been guilty of?
Tell me how I came to lose my love. Please answer me, oh Lord. She was mine yesterday. I believe that love was here to stay. Won't you tell me where I've gone astray? Please answer me, oh Lord. If she's happier without me, don't tell her I care. But if she still thinks about me, please let her hear my prayer. Let her know I've been true. Send her back so we can start anew. In my sorrow, may I turn to you. Please answer me, oh Lord. If she's happier, don't tell her I care. But if she still thinks about me, please let her hear my prayer. Let her know I've been true. Send her back so we can start anew. In my sorrow, I turn to you. Please answer me, oh Lord.
Heaven, please say all mankind understanding and peace of mind. But if it's not asking too much, please send me someone to love.
Someone to love.
I'd show the world how to get along. Peace will enter where hate has gone. But if it's not asking too much, please, please send me someone to love.
Someone to love.
I lay awake at night and find the world so troubled. And my answer is always the same, that unless man put an end to this horrible sin, hate will put the world in a flame. What a shame. Just because I'm in misery, I don't beg for no sympathy. But if it's not asking too much, please send me someone to love. Oh yeah,
someone
to love.